And on 91.7 WVXU, I'm Lucy May. Cincinnati Opera's 2023 Summer Festival starts this month, and the season includes the world stage premiere of a new opera called The Knock. The title refers to the knock on the door of a military family's home when the family receives the painful news that a loved one has died. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about The Knock and the story behind the production are playwright and librettist for The Knock, Deborah Brevoort. Welcome, Deborah.
Great to be here.
Composer for The Knock, Alexandra Vrabeloff. Thanks for being with us, Alexandra.
Thank you. It's really great to be here.
And Cincinnati Opera Harry T. Wilkes Artistic Director, Evans Miragis. Welcome back, Evans.
Thank you, Lucy.
The Cincinnati Opera is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Deborah, I want to start with you. Tell us more about the story behind this opera.
Yes, well, back in 2010, I was commissioned by Virginia Stage Company in Norfolk, Virginia, to write a play about military wives. And they thought this would be a pretty easy process. I went down, and it turned out that it was not something I could write over a one-year period. It ended up taking 3 years of sort of being embedded in the military community and winning the confidence of people who were – before they would really open up and share with me the real stories of what it was like to be married to the military. And during that time, during that three-year period, I actually formed a lot of close friendships with military spouses. And in time, they started sharing with me the real story of what it is – what it means to be married to the military. And during that time – I heard many stories about The Knock. I ended up writing a play that was about something else. There was a knock in the play, but it wasn't the focus of it. But the power of those stories, it stayed with me all those years. And it finally occurred to me that the moment of The Knock was profoundly operatic, and it was something that I think only an opera could really capture. And I sat down and began to think of how I could turn that into an opera, and I then thought, well, who is the perfect composer for this? And I spent many months listening and thinking, and Alexandra and I did our opera training together in the American Lyric Theater, and she happened to be in New York, and I asked her to meet me for coffee, and the rest is history. We started working on it, and that's how it came to be.
Oh, beautiful. And you talked about the years that you spent really getting to know these military families and you know, earning their trust. Tell us a little bit more about the kind of research and work that you did to make sure you were reflecting these experiences really accurately and respectfully.
Well, you know, the military has its own language. So the first issue was to learn the language. They all speak in acronyms. Mm. I mean, so there was I did 43 interviews with people, and I spoke to them at great length. I did all the book research. I memorized the acronyms. You know, I mean, it was all of that. And then when it came time to write the play, we actively involved the community in the readings and in the workshops, and it went through several workshops. And I did note sessions with the wives, and I did note sessions with the audience. And so it went through a thorough process with that kind of involvement. The one difficulty that I had was that there are obviously five branches of the military, and every branch runs according to a different set of protocols. And the protocols I learned are incredibly important, and the accuracy of the protocols. Well, when you're doing a stage play, I made the mistake of mixing a Navy protocol with an Army protocol.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, and I was quickly corrected on that. So I had to that was actually one of the artistic challenges, because an artistic work can sink under the weight of your you know, at one point I said, ladies, this is not a protocol manual. This is a play. I need a little flexibility here, but I had to really hew to a higher level of accuracy than you normally would when you're working in a dramatic form, and I had to pay very close attention to that.
I bet that's part of the trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Alexander, you composed the music for this opera. Deborah just explained how you two kind of came together. How did this story speak to you, and how did your own experiences inform your work?
I very well remember that first meeting that I had with Deborah when we when she told me the actual story and the event from the real life that inspired it. And I just choked up, and I knew that if there is such a level of emotion, and if it's real, that this is a great potential for a story to be inspiring for long enough for me to create it and to generate energy on a daily basis from the actual story to keep it going and to complete such a large work as any opera is. So it was beautiful, and it was also intense, because this is not a story that you want to relive daily, but this is exactly what Deborah did for years and what I did at the point when I finally started to write music. My own experience living in former Yugoslavia during the wars helped in a sense that I could relate to the atmosphere of uncertainty and dramatic life events. And also in my family history, my grandfather is a national hero. He lost his life in World War II. My father is a war orphan, and that was a part of the family history that was crucial, actually, for me in writing the work, because it inspired one of the basic dualistic the approach to the work itself, where I knew that it needs to be extremely personal and carry the emotion of loss and personal tragedy, while at the same time it needs to have that public side, which is heroic, glorious, beautiful, and gives strength to those who remain. So yes, personal history and the fact that I was born in former Yugoslavia were very helpful in dealing with this specific subject matter.
And what emotions, you talked a little bit about it, but what are all the emotions you're working to convey with your music? I mean, it really, I was able to listen to some of it and watch some of it in the Glimmer Glass production, and it's just so powerful, and there's such a range. What goes into those emotional, you know, pieces of the music and what you're trying to convey?
Thank you. Well, the libretto itself, in my opinion, gives it all. It covers the full range of emotion that we experience in most dramatic life situations. So from the lyrical, beautiful yearning for somebody who we love, to regret, to hopefulness, to beautiful memories of happy moments together, to anxiety and expectation of the worst thing to come, and then actually living through the moments of when the news is delivered, and that was the most difficult part, of course, to write, to have our characters, our heroines, live through the moments of the death notice, because I think the only way that music and that drama can work is if we as creators really try to bring ourselves to those moments that do not happen to us all the time, or, you know, those are the most defining moments of life. But as I said, it was all in the libretto, and I was eager and willing to dive as deep as it can be for our musicians and then audiences to have those emotions.
Evans, I understand Cincinnati Opera co-commissioned The Knock together with Glimmer Glass Festival, as I just mentioned, Glimmer Glass Festival in New York. Why? What's the story behind that partnership?
Some years ago, we received a very generous grant from the Mellon Foundation, whose specific aim was for us to create three chamber-sized operas, one a year for 3 years, that spoke to audiences that had been unheard on our stage, topics that had not been treated in general by American opera. And that was the basis for my exploration. Well, the first one was an opera called Blind Injustice, which we premiered in 2019, which explored through, again, not dissimilar to what Deborah has done in a slightly more fictionalized way, but the lives of six people who were wrongfully incarcerated. The second opera, which had a delayed premiere because of the pandemic, is Fierce, written by Sheila Williams, a local author, and William Menefield, who grew up in Cincinnati as well, examining, again, through real-life testimonies, but as like Deborah's piece, slightly more fictionalized, of growing up as a teenage female in this time and in this place. And I have been on the lookout all this time for another topic that would speak to an underserved or heretofore unheard audience. Now, don't get me wrong, there are lots of operas about war. They go all the way back to the beginnings of opera, and George Frederick Handel wrote plenty of them. But there has not been an opera like this until recently. There have been a couple of operas that have dealt with the military experience, more recent military experience, Soldier Songs, Glory Denied, which is a specific Vietnam story about a husband and wife who are separated, and the wife thinks the husband is dead and remarries. But nothing dealing specifically with military wives. And when I went to Glimmerglass, now it's got to be 4 years ago, I had a conversation with Francesca Zambello, who was their then general and artistic director. And she said, hey, we're planning a multiple event evening, one of which is the story she told me about The Knock. And I said, Francesca, can I take just The Knock? Because it's exactly what I am looking for. And we did. What transpired was we became co-commissioners of the opera itself. But the original plan, and Alexandra and Deborah, correct me if I'm wrong, the original plan was to a much larger piece in the Alice Bush Theater, their main theater with a larger orchestra. Early conversations, I think, even maybe involved a chorus. And I said, no, I need something that can fit both emotionally and physically in a smaller, more intimate space. Not necessarily because of the economics, but because these stories are up close and personal. And boy, will they be personal when you see this and hear this opera. And she said, well, why don't we figure out a way that Cincinnati Opera can commission Alexandra to write a smaller instrumentation using fewer instruments so that it works in your space. And so that's what we did. That had been our intention all along. But fate and the pandemic took a hand in this. And of course, nothing happened in 2020.
Right.
And in 2021, when both Cincinnati Opera and Glimmerglass decided to return to performing, but out of doors, I think everybody thought this story does not belong in an open field. This needs to, for all the right reasons, be in a smaller space. And so Glimmerglass took the enterprising idea with Deborah and Alexandra's collaboration to create a genuine feature film of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, when I inquired of Cheska, so the orchestration you're using for the film, she said, no, Evans, Alexandra has written the orchestration you're going to use. So, Alexandra, correct me if I'm wrong, you haven't made a full orchestra version of this yet, right?
No, there is no full orchestra version. Right. There were some smaller changes made for Cincinnati, but we ended up using the small orchestra version also in Glimmerglass.
So what happens now in this summer is that you will hear and see the world stage premiere of this work conceived in so many ways for a very intimate and up-close experience. I will say, from having studied the score a long time and viewed the film at least 10 times now, everyone who comes to these performances is in for an emotionally wrenching experience. But that shouldn't make you shy away. I'm very, very keen on us remembering that what we call opera today is an outgrowth of ancient Greek theater. And ancient Greek theater was a combination of democracy and theater growing up together. Mm. And that all of the original impetus for a theatrical experience was to, in part, to also try and teach us how to be better humans and better citizens. So even an opera with this kind of a harrowing subject, beautifully told, by the way, with gorgeous music, needs to be seen and heard, and preferably up close and personal.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking in this recorded interview about Cincinnati Opera's world stage premiere of a new opera called The Knock. Evans, you just explained how it is that Cincinnati's production will be the first time it's presented on stage. The pandemic had a big role in that. I understand it's also going to, this production will also have a female conductor, a female stage director. They're leading this production with a primarily female cast. How unusual is that, or is that changing in the world of opera?
I think it's more and more, I won't say the norm, but we are waking up to the fact that, and I am fond of saying this, that I think women should run the world, period, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, you heard it, everybody.
Of course, the creative team is a female librettist and a female composer. And Alison Moritz, who directed the film and was originally slated to do the stage premiere, is making her debut with us. It is, in part, here in Cincinnati, at Cincinnati Opera, the result of many, many years of a more inclusive nature of programming, of casting at every level. And I'm talking everything from stage managers to composers and every artist in between. We also have a special fund that was created in honor of our now recently retired chief executive and general director, Patricia Beggs. And it is the Patricia Beggs Fund for Female Creators. And that means creators and recreators. So we have made an intentional step in the last several years. You know, I'm always amused by some of our co-companies, as it were, around the country. They're making a big deal out of this now. And I will brag for Cincinnati, because that's the kind of city that Cincinnati is. Oh, we've been doing it for 20 years. My second or third season, we had a female conductor. And before I was here, Jane Glover conducted Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. So having a female conductor is not new. It's just that we're blessed now that there are more of them and more women who are entering in the conducting field, both in symphonic and in opera.
Deborah, you spoke to this at the beginning of our interview, and I want to get your thoughts in a little bit more detail. What does this opera say about this art form's ability to really deal with current issues and situations? I think, you know, despite all the work that Cincinnati Opera has been doing, when a lot of people think of opera, they think of very old kind of operas dealing with old themes that have been around for a long, long time. What does this work say about the ability of opera to really deal with a very current story?
Well, I think that one thing that the opera does is that it tells a familiar story from a different perspective. I mean, war has been the subject of opera and of theater. I mean, Greek theater was all about wars, right? And so we know war. We know the experience of war in opera and theater. We don't know the point of view of the people who are left behind, because they haven't been deemed worthy of exploration or of representation, if you will. It's been that point of view has been dismissed. And so, you know, this opera and a lot of contemporary operas are now inhabiting points of view that we haven't seen before, even though many of the situations of those operas are as universal as they've always been, right? It's just we're seeing it through a different lens. We're experiencing it through different eyes.
Alexandra, what do you think, as the composer, how can opera tell this story in a way that another art form can't?
Well, with music, there is that amazing thing that it communicates without words also. In this case, we have amazing words to it, but the music itself goes directly to our deepest places of insight and immediate emotional understanding of things that for words is a little more difficult. And I think its power lies exactly in that if we go with the emotion and where the sound takes us, we often surrender to it without judgment or subtext that's intellectual usually, but we go to the place of heart, soul, emotion, and it's easier to process many difficult things in the society. I mean, especially because the conflict that we have is often externalized. We blame others, we suffer because of others, we so believe. And there is immediately judgment and also resistance towards the experience. But with music, we don't have that. That thing really runs into us and helps us go through whatever the difficult subject matter or the issue is that we are dealing with.
Did you want to add to that, Deborah?
Yeah, I just want to say that, like, one of the secrets to libretto writing is knowing when to shut up and pass the ball to the composer. And so thank you for your kind words about the poetic words, Alexandra. But there were moments, and especially during the notification scene where, you know, of course, I'm inhabiting it as I'm writing it. And I'm like, this is not a place where I need people. They're inarticulate. You are inarticulate in a moment like that.
There are no words.
There are no words. So what did I do? I wrote physical actions. I just inhabited the experience so that Alexandra was given a series of physical actions, which she could use or not use in order to get to the place that only music can fully explore.
Alexandra, if you would be willing to speak to a moment about that amazing thing that only opera can do that you do in this piece, which is the repeated sharp drum beats that come in a sequence more than once. And when we first hear it, it's a very disconcerting sound. It's really quick, hard beats on a bass drum. And you soon realize what it really is. Alexandra, would you tell us how that evolved?
Well, again, it's in the libretto. There is a moment when Gonzalez is not sure. He thinks that something is happening with his car. He's in the car and there is that noise that's overpowering and present. But since he is not at the beginning completely in touch with himself, he doesn't even realize that this is his heart beating because his body knows before his mind can accept it, that he is going through a terrible situation and it's not going to get better as the hours progress. So that was the connection. There was the physicality of sound. We think it's the car, and as Gonzalez is realizing what it is, we as audience are also realizing what it is. So that was the thinking behind that specific motive.
So powerful. Several performances of The Knock have already sold out. There are performances July 5th and July 7th that have tickets available. You can find a link to more information on our website, wvxu.org. I've been talking with playwright and librettist for The Knock, Deborah Brevoort, composer for The Knock, Alexandra Vrabelov, and Cincinnati Opera Harry T. Wilkes Artistic Director, Evans Marajas. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May.